You're listening to AWW Radio, the podcast of American women's wrestling.
What is up, wrestling friends? This is Derek Levandusky, one of the Bleacher Brothers. I am here with my co-host and the other half of the Bleacher Brothers, Ben Levandusky.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, that's my line.
Oh, no, you said what's up, wrestling friends?
Okay, so, all right.
No, you're good. I mean, I'm definitely game for trying to figure out what I need to say.
Yeah, you need something different for a signature line, because that's mine.
All right, well, I'll leave that with you. So, like, hey, guys.
This is a terrible start to our inaugural show.
Well, that's welcome to podcasting.
All right.
That's what I say.
All right, welcome to AWW Radio. We are excited to be talking all things women's wrestling. The goal of today's show is just to talk to you about who we are and what we do, what we hope to do with this show, and we hope that you enjoy it. I started American Women's Wrestling, I think officially in August of this year, 2019. I'm a coach. I was a high school and college wrestler, and I've got 6 kids, and 5 of them wrestle. My oldest daughter, Joy, wrestles for McKendree University. She's an All-American last year. So I've, definitely been around the scene, and I've got 3 wrestling daughters, actually. And just over the years, just watching how female wrestling was not covered, it just kind of started to bother me.
What did you think was missing? What was missing from the scene?
Well, a number of things. First of all, just coverage. Like, I feel like you'd get like a token nod to, the women's wrestling. Like, there'd be an occasional ranking, but they wouldn't be consistent, or I don't know. I just feel like they wouldn't be thorough.
Yeah.
At every level, even though I think the Flow Wrestling USAW National High School Girls ranking has probably been the most consistent one, but I mean, I know people are trying to help, but the college rankings have been, in my view, pretty awful the last few years. The senior level women's rankings have been very inconsistent. I tried to look at an updated ranking like last summer, and as we were getting ready for Worlds and all that, and like the last ranking was like, I don't know, last April or February or something.
Yeah.
It was never updated.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it just kind of bothered me. And I've got a background in journalism. I went to college for that. And I thought I could do a good job with this, create a website that covers women's wrestling, covers news, tells stories,
yeah,
and gives consistent rankings.
Yeah. I mean, so what's your goal for, just talking rankings for a second, what's the goal for AWW and getting rankings out? Like, what are we looking at? How often are we trying to update the rankings?
Well, ideally I'd like to do it at least once a month, as our team widens and I get, more staff and more help.
Yeah.
I hope that we can even be more consistent than that. Like, after a major event, it would be nice if within 48 hours,
sure,
there was a ranking put out.
Right.
I mean, there's all these events and matches that happen that are significant. And I don't know. I just think the women deserve it. They work hard,
yeah,
and their stories need to be told. Actually, Ben, it makes me think of, I was talking to Joy. And actually, this was last June going into Final X. And she told me a story that it just kind of bothered me. And it made me think, yeah, I need to pull the trigger on this.
Uh-huh.
She was talking to me about, Joy wrestles with Alexandria Glaude from McKendree,
right,
who was a national champion last year for WCWA.
Right.
And, Joy, their training partners are at the same weight. Alex got number, she won it last year at 155. Joy got 7th.
And Alex was in Final X.
And Alex was in Final X against Tamara,
right,
Mensa Stock. And so Joy was back home, and she was talking to some wrestling friends. I'm talking like wrestlers who are like still wrestling and big, wrestling fans of what's going on in the wrestling world. And they're like, oh, how's your experience, out in St. Louis and McKendree? And she goes, oh, it's good. And, good training partners. And they're like, oh yeah, who do you wrestle with? And she goes, I get to wrestle, Alex Glaude.
Right.
And,
dropping a name.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, who's that?
Yeah.
And these are like, you know, people that are like serious about wrestling and they follow wrestling. And Joy's like, well, she was just in Final X. Oh, really? And they're like, who'd she wrestle? And Joy's like, Tamara.
Yeah.
And they said, who's that?
Oh, they didn't say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, these are some of the biggest names in college and senior level wrestling.
Right.
And they didn't know who they were. And I'm like, that just, I don't know, it just seems, that ain't right.
Yeah. That ain't right. That just doesn't sound right. Well.
Yeah. You know what that's from?
No.
A few years ago, I went to downtown Baltimore with Heidi, and we ran into God bless him, a panhandler. And you still there?
Yeah, I hit my phone by accident. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry, we're still learning to use this app, so just making sure we're all good. So anyway, this guy asked us for money, and the people we were with, they're like, they're panhandlers, don't give them money. And I'm like, sorry, man, don't have anything for you today. Right. And he's like, that ain't right! And he starts stomping his feet. That ain't right. Anyway, so that's kind of an insider thing. Now it's an outsider.
Well,
thing.
Yeah. When he was yelling at you, that ain't right. Did you and your wife was there? Did you process the idea of how you would take him down if you had to?
Oh yeah. I mean, he had a terrible stance.
Yep.
He was pretty upright. He's backing up, so he's on his heels.
Oh
totally
yeah.
Set up for a blast elbow.
Which I don't think you've hit one of those. Well, have you ever hit one of those, actually?
I'm pretty sure I hit one on you.
maybe
last, not this Thanksgiving that we just had, but two Thanksgivings ago, like during the family football game.
Yeah, I can't remember that too well. I think I got a concussion. Hey, listen, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think, obviously, we've been following wrestling, you and I, for years, enjoying wrestling and certainly into the men's wrestling all these years, and no doubt women's wrestling has been taken off and growing like crazy. Do you think people will love women's wrestling like they do men's wrestling? I mean, if the stories are told, what do you think will be the, how will that be received?
Well, you nailed it. I mean, it's if the stories are told.
Yeah.
You know, that's why people love stars. That's why people love to follow athletes, male or female.
Uh-huh.
If we know their stories, if we hear their stories and know, you know, what's gone into this moment or this match or their career, people absolutely follow. I mean, look at like tennis, like,
yeah,
people love Serena Williams.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
It's not because she's some, you know, of course she's unique and special and
of
she's
course,
amazing,
yeah.
But it's not because like she's a different, you know, kind of woman. She's just a woman who is known and her story is told by the media and she's covered and everybody's interested in what's going on in her career. And what I found is that people that I know who love wrestling, you and me included,
yeah,
the more we know about what's going on in women's wrestling, the more that stories are told and the news is covered and like rankings give context for like important matches. That's why rankings are important.
Of course.
Like, hey, this is a number, whatever. This is a number two against a number five. You know, pay attention to this match.
Sure.
At this duel this weekend or whatever. The more that kind of stuff is those stories are told and it's covered, the more narratives are told,
yeah,
the more people are going to be interested in following women's wrestling.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, as somebody that's only grown into women's wrestling since, you know, you've gotten your daughters involved and certainly been following it through you. It isn't it's the stories that make it come alive to me, no doubt. And certainly following it from a distance, you know, as somebody who's been a fan on the bleachers, so to speak, as we're the Bleacher Brothers.
We're the Bleacher Brothers.
The Bleacher Brothers.
What is up, wrestling friends?
I've really grown to appreciate the narrative of women's wrestling and excited about what's next. So,
yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, what to watch these women last, what was it, September at Worlds, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Adeline Gray,
yeah,
you know, winning another world
it's
title.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, Takara Winchester, Tamara Mensah-Stock. I mean, these are great athletes who are doing amazing things. And it's like, I don't know, a token nod or a token coverage is not enough.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we're the heroes that are going to save women's wrestling, or I'm not, you know, we're just going to do our part is what
sure.
I'm saying. Like, we're going to tell stories as much as we can. You and I both have you know, full-time jobs outside of this. And, but you know, we've got some discretionary time and AWW, I use my resources and time, what I can to invest in the women's wrestling community and tell stories and cover news and you know, work on these rankings. And, you know, I'm thankful for the team of people that have already come together. You know, I've got a number of people on the feedback teams for the rankings at the high school, college and senior level.
Yep.
You know, appreciative of Jackie Davis out in Boston, Chad Shilson in Minnesota. There's some others who, you know, have stepped forward and helped out, and some people who have encouraged us or counseled us or, you know, given us feedback. And, you know, I've had, you know, Shannon Gillespie, the coach, has done some articles for us.
Yep.
And I hope to, you know, expand our writing, staff writing team, you know, to get more coverage. So we're just in the baby stages of this, but I'm excited. Honestly, Ben, like, people are excited. I've had a lot of female wrestlers at the college and senior level tell me that they're very appreciative of what's going on, and that, you know, we're doing what we can to cover to cover their sport. And also at the same time, there's Gabrielle Lord Klein started transition wrestling, and she's doing primarily college coverage, but man, it's just great to see, you know, focus put on women's wrestling. So
it's awesome.
I'll tell you what, maybe you and I should, because everybody is so interested in our careers.
Oh, right. Like, what
we let's give a little background of like what our wrestling past is, so people,
I got some ethos when it comes to wrestling. I think
we were Hulk Hogan fans.
I was a big Hogan fan. I remember that day. We were pretty good in our own minds, I guess, back in the day.
Oh, here's how I describe it, Ben.
Okay.
You and I
were
the okayest wrestlers ever to come out of Schoharie High in Section 5 of New York.
It was Section 2 of New York when I was there, man.
Oh, Section 2? Oh, I'm in Section 5 now. Sorry. Wow. That's right, Section 2.
Wow, yeah, that's what respect you don't show by saying that.
Well, you know,
if I remember, you were seated in Section 2 in the tournament, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out too well at all.
Well, listen. Yeah. Back then, I mean, you know, there's always those grandma, grandpa stories. Like, when I was a kid, you know, we went to school uphill both ways. Well, listen, back then in New York, we had one division, single elimination state qualifier. There's no sectional points that could bring you in the back door.
It was crazy.
Like, you win the whole thing, class A, B, C, D, division one, division two, you win the whole thing or you ain't going.
That's it, man.
Step it up. The state qualifier, and, you know, we just had a number of people, like, more than a couple that could beat me. But
I got a story. So this is a Derek and Ben, you know, of course I was a few years behind you in school, but pretty close to you in weight my whole time. I've always been a little on the husky side.
You're big boned.
I'm big boned. Thank you. But anyways, when you were in, you must have been a senior. I was in seventh grade, I think. And you wrestled. You were seeded first in our Schoharie tournament. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
You had number one seed, and you ran into a guy in the semis from Christian Brothers Academy, CBA.
I was a senior, and he was was he a freshman or sophomore?
He must have been a freshman. Yeah, maybe a sophomore. Did he go to CBA? Is that where he went to school?
Yeah. I think you got that right.
Yeah, because I think he coached there years later. But anyways, his name was Jimmy Kane. And I'll never forget one of the things about the match besides you losing, which was definitely something I recall. I think he beat you 4-2. Am I mistaken?
It was 3-1.
Oh, I knew it was by 2 points.
My escape was awesome.
You were very fast to your feet. Anyways, we could get into that later. But
yeah,
Jimmy Kane did a move on you that we did not know. Do you remember?
Tell me, Ben, how did he score?
No. He did a move from a stand. He did the Russian 2-on-1 on you, and you didn't know what that was at that point.
I what are you talking about? I used the Russian 2-on-1 in high school.
No, you never did. You didn't use it
I've got video of me using the Russian 2-on-1.
That was after the Jimmy Cain match.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. I disagree with you.
No, I think maybe what actually happened was maybe he got a Russian 2-on-1 and did a move from the Russian. And besides, as Mike Mal from Flow Wrestling says, why are you friggin' giving credit to the Russians? It's just a freaking 2-on-1.
It's true. I've heard him say that. But here's the deal. You never did a good move from it. It was actually the first time I saw it efficiently used.
Okay.
And it was used on you. And you lost.
Yeah.
But fast forward the clock to
Hang on, Ben. Hang on.
What's up?
In my heart, I won.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
You're a winner, bro. But fast forward a couple of years, I was at, because you wrestled in high school, you were 145, I think, at that point. A couple of years later, I was 155. I'll never forget the day. Jimmy Cain was a senior. He was undefeated in our section, and he was the main man. And that day, we were wrestling CBA that night, and he was at my weight class. And I was probably 500, maybe. You know, I was 9th, 10th grade. And I don't think it
could... By 500, you mean like only getting in all your losses, only getting pinned in like five in half of the matches.
That's true. I may have been pinned a few times, but so there's an article in the paper, no joke, about Jimmy Cain and how good he was doing, and the fact that he had only pinned like one guy all year. He was like 31-0, and he'd only pinned like one guy because he just liked to work on his style and
catch and release, cat
and
mouse.
You know how that stuff. So that night we forfeited to their 155 pounder. So they were going to bump me up to 167. And I remember, I think you were there. I was. I remember Coach Sova was, and he's like, I was looking at him in the face. I couldn't see anything because I'm legally blind with my glasses off. And I was going, did we forfeit to Cain? Did we forfeit to Cain?
You were trembling.
I was so scared. And Coach said, yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good. So then he goes, get out there and win this match or something. I don't remember. They pumped me up, and I ran out to the center at 167. And I'll never forget, like, reaching up and, like, looking up in front of me. Now's the first time I could see this other human in front of me, and it was, in fact, Jimmy Cain. And I remember I shook his hand. And true story, I put the 2-on-1 on him. I put a 2-on-1 on him.
Nice.
And he fireman carried me from my 2-on-1. I don't know how he did it. Honestly, you ever wrestle a good, real good wrestler? It's kind of an out of body experience because you're getting tossed around. You're thinking to yourself, how did I get in this position? Like, how am I upside down on his shoulders right now? He pinned me.
So you like, he didn't even have a chance to do cat and mouse because basically went right to your back.
I may have asked him during the match, please cat and mouse me. I think I may have made it to the second period. I think he was up like 5-0 going into the second period.
Okay.
And then I don't know if I got splayed or something. I'm pretty sure I was in pain and I lost. And I did not avenge your loss from high school.
No, that was a painful loss because I was a senior and who's this kid?
Yeah.
That was my home tournament and that sucked.
Yeah, and that year he beat me. He went on to win state champions. He was the state championship. So I went to bed at night. Can you feel better about yourself knowing that you got pinned by a state champion?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get pinned.
No, I'm asking you about me, pinned. Bro. I'm not talking about you now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Me. I mean, that's like one of my claims to fame. You know,
well,
so.
Maybe we can get Jimmy Cain on sometime to talk about – you know, if he's coaching to talk about women's wrestling, of course, I think he's an all boys private school, but we'll get him on to talk about women's wrestling, even though they have no women in the school.
Right.
We'll get him on just because you and I sort of have this like, you know,
yes,
this idolized view of him.
Yeah.
It's probably like really exaggerated and,
you know what's
awesome? We'll get him on sometime just so we could say we had Jimmy Cain on the show and we'll ask him about women's wrestling and then we'll ask him how he did to you what he did to you.
Yeah, we'll ask him. And I want to say this, and this is what I love about wrestling and about just the sport itself is just the sense of family that wrestling is. I remember after that match, after he cremated me, And he's a coach now. Now he went on to win states that year. He's a coach now. But after that match, when the match was over, we were just hanging out, and he came up to me and he gave me some tips on the 2-on-1. He was showing me some things that I could have done better, and where I gripped it wrong. And he was coaching me up as a senior to a sophomore on another team. It always meant a lot to me. Just speaks to the character of the people in wrestling. He's one of many, obviously.
Basically, like, he was telling you how not to go upside down.
Yeah. I still don't understand how he fireman carried me from my 2-on-1. But he did.
But resets that move now. We could probably show you
okay,
that.
Okay, great. Good times. All right.
But yeah, so you and I were, what, 4 grades apart?
Yeah, something like that. 4 or 5 grades. Yeah, you.
So that's the one, like, common opponent I think we had, and he beat both of us.
Did
so.
You wrestle Gonzalez from Cobleskill?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay. He pinned me too.
But you know what? Let's have our Uncle Rico moment.
Okay.
You know, now that you and I have both done a little bit of coaching, yeah. You know, it's like, man, if we could go back, we totally win states.
Bro, if we could go back, yeah, I probably still would have gotten pinned by Kane. But other than that, I don't know. You know, yeah, I mean, I wish that we had what's out there now, what's available now to these the wrestling communities.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. We just didn't have that back then. I mean, maybe it was there. We just were unaware of it. I heard rumors about mats being put in people's basements and, you know, people like, I could drop some names of people that we knew about in the Albany area. But, you know, there's just some well-known families that you hear had these, like, little tiny clubs, but boy, what we have now, if we had what we had now.
Then... Well, I mean, how about YouTube? It's like, hey, how do you go through the middle?
Yep.
Go through the middle wrestling technique. And it, like, all these amazing techniques pop up from, like, you know, really good high level coaches. And, you know, like, if you don't learn technique today, it's your fault. Like, the resources are there and it's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, of course, I wrestled after that in college, and I grew from my college coaching. But I feel like since I've become a coach of a club, and just having to, like, learn how to teach all these moves and these new techniques. And then, you know, I helped coach the New York women's high school team.
Right.
And, you know, being around that, being around, you know, at the national level, some different coaches. And it's just, I've grown so much in my understanding. And you're right. Like, I mean, I don't mean to have an Uncle Rico moment, but it's like, man, I do wish we had the resources when I wrestled that these wrestlers have now.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, I think that, you know, you went on to college and wrestled for a junior college program, a great program in Cobleskill, actually. And I remember you seriously growing in your ability at that time. And it was... you know, it's just simply coaching. And no offense to our coaches back in the day. And they did a great job with what they had. But I, you know, definitely that exposure to guys that were, you know, I think your coach was a junior national champion maybe. And you know what I mean? And just having that type of ability and being around that, we have that every day at our fingertips on the internet. I mean, just learning that stuff.
Right.
We're in a great time of life, no doubt about it. So,
well, coaching is everything. I mean, let's circle back to our main topic here, and it's women's wrestling. And just watching Joy, you know, I mean, she had a really good high school experience here. We don't have sanctioned wrestling in New York for women.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrestled for her boys' team. She did really well, had 70 wins against the boys, was a good folk style wrestler. But I'll tell you, going out to McKendree and being around Coach Sam Schmitz and the coaching staff there, and then, you know, she made the junior national team last year. So she's gotten to go to the OTC and being around Terry Steiner and you know, all the high-level athletes and the training they get there. I mean, the coaching, it just makes such a difference in getting exposed to that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a young female wrestler and you want to have a future in the sport, I encourage you, you know, try to make your state team. Go to Fargo. Wrestle in college, you know, pick a good program where you can have good partners. And I mean, college is a whole nother thing, you know, as far as leveling up goes and learning techniques and different things. And the opportunities are there. It's a great day for women's wrestling.
Yeah.
If you're a female wrestler and you want to have opportunities to, you know, wrestle around the world, you know, around the country, and, you know, be on teams with other women, and, you know, even get scholarship money. The opportunities are there, and it's just such a great day for women's wrestling, and it's only getting better.
Yes.
It's only growing.
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, fighting for that exposure to the, on the national or high school level or state level, excuse me, and then national level, just getting exposed to some of that is, wow, so helpful. And it's there, it's available. It's not like it's unattainable. It's there. So.
Yeah. You just got to want it. And I think some of these girls, Ben, like the folk style freestyle thing, like there's a little bit of, intimidation, I think, to move into freestyle from folk style.
Right.
You know, in states that sanction women's wrestling, honestly, I don't even know off the top of my head what states do folk style and what states do freestyle. They might all do folk style in high school.
Sure.
But you know, there's some very vibrant freestyle cultures in some of these states. And I noticed there's a lot of really good female wrestlers who don't, you know, they don't make the jump into freestyle until later, if at all, because they're kind of intimidated to change styles and to go into that.
Yeah. And if a girl, and if a girl wants to, you know, if a young woman wants to wrestle on the, you know, wrestle freestyle, she's going to have to find ways, because that's, you know, I mean, what I'm saying is be exposed to that younger. You're going to have to find your way out of the, most of the high school teams, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because high school, you're just primarily folk style.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can speak with authority on New York because I'm part of that culture and I'm part of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
The opportunities are there. Like if you want to get trained in freestyle, we offer clinics, we offer tournaments with freestyle divisions, and we offer the opportunity to take, you know, trips with the national team to Oklahoma Folk Style Nationals and Body Bar, or as we call it now, not Body Bar, because Body Bar doesn't actually sponsor it anymore.
Okay.
Or Fargo, you know? And so, yeah, I think the opportunities are there. And I know we're probably way behind other states. So there's tons of opportunities. You just got to want it. You got to be willing to, you know, leave the comfort of folk style and get into the freestyle environment and get trained up and start experiencing that, because when you get to college, it's all freestyle.
It's all freestyle.
And so, you know, getting started, I don't know, this is another conversation maybe for another podcast, sure. But getting started younger, I think is good, but not too young. Like, I think it's okay in youth wrestling just to kind of major on folk style. And, you know, I know like with my daughter, Audrey, she's in sixth grade now, and we just started a heavy diet of freestyle. She's done a few freestyle events and, you know, a few freestyle practices before, but we're kind of hitting it heavy this year, so that by the time she gets to, you know, eighth grade and she's getting to that cadet or pre-cadet age, at schoolgirl age, you know, she'll have the techniques she'll need to compete in that style. But yeah,
well, listen, that's a lot of stuff we can talk about, and obviously we don't want to get caught up in the weeds right now. We're just getting rolling here, right? So what are some, moving on from some of the direct, what are some things we can expect from the podcast? What are some elements or segments that we expect or see ourselves doing?
Well, first of all, I don't know. I this is sort of a surprise. It's not in our talking points, but I would like you to challenge someone.
Okay.
Every week to a wrestling match.
Okay.
Man, woman, senior citizen, child, and let's start keeping your record now that you know all these techniques and you know you've grown in your appreciation of the sport and the technical aspects of the sport. And let's just start getting a running record of you, you know, since your high school career. And we'll have that as a segment, you know. So, and you just tell us how the match went. It could be against your,
sure,
you know, your three-year-old son. And I want to know what moves you hit.
Okay.
But we'll, you know, we'll do a.
Am I wrestling folk style or freestyle or Greco? I mean, you know.
You tell me, Ben, what style do you want? We could keep records in every style, but let's just make it, you know, women wrestle freestyle. So
sure.
Let's make it freestyle.
All right. Sounds good. I'm
okay.
I'm pretty, I've been working on some stuff and be happy to go, you know, to work on my record.
Yeah. It's okay. It's even okay if you surprise them, like your wife, Kayla, who's kind of a, you know, she's a little bit of a petite Guatemalan woman, you know, like if you're hugging her and you body lock her and throw her for five, that's fine.
All right.
All right. That match counts.
Okay.
All right. Yeah,
okay.
Because I know, like you actually need the element of surprise.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
You know, yeah.
Like what? So, yeah. you know.
So anyway, we'll get updates on that. Other elements, Ben, other elements are going to be, we'll have guest hosts. Yeah. You know, people like Jackie Davis from Boston is going to be a guest host.
Yeah.
Coach Sam Schmitz from McKendree, you know, he's shown a lot of interest in what we're doing. I know I can get Julia Saladas shown interest in what we're doing from King University. And of course she's a, you know, senior level wrestler. And so we'll get not only guest interviews, but guest hosts, people to come on and just talk about women's wrestling the way we're talking about it right now.
Sweet. Fun.
You know, interviews with different wrestling stars. I had so much fun interviewing Tamara Mensastock for an interview right after Worlds. And boy, she'd be great to get on the show sometime and talk. People like that, I'd love to love to get them on the show. Also, I may know or have a connection to Wayne Fish.
Uh-huh.
Those of you that don't know Wayne Fish, he was he's sort of a dim-witted kind of doofus reporter that went viral at Fargo two summers ago, and now he's got his own Twitter and all this. People have accused me of being him.
Yeah.
But vouch for me, Ben. I mean, you know, that's not true. Right. I mean, I'll put it this way. I impersonate him really well. You know, like, here, I'll do an impersonation. Hey, this is Wayne Fish down here at Fargo. And I'm talking to Willie the Sailor Sailor.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know him. I've actually done some agent work for him, so, you know, set up some interviews and stuff. So anyway, we may be able to get a Wayne Fish segment or Tony Rogatti if we can get into prison, who's sort of Wayne's sidekick.
Is that where Tony is now?
Yeah, he was convicted of racketeering and, you know, different mafia crimes. But, you know, Tony Rogatti, maybe we can get in and interview him. Anyway, another segment, we'll just call it Heat Misers.
Yep.
Maybe I got Christmas on the brain. Yep. You remember that old...
I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Sun.
I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. 101.
They call...
They call me...
Hey. What? I don't know if our wrestling fans want to hear the whole song.
Okay.
But let's do it anyway. They call me
Heat Miser.
Whatever I touch starts to melt
into my clutch. I'm too much.
Wow. You know what we could do?
What's that?
Is you could like sing that song quietly behind me.
Okay.
As I do the Heat Miser segment, which is going to be talking about like current wrestlers who are really hot. Like they're doing great stuff on the mat.
Can we practice that right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Who are you going to talk about?
It's a surprise.
Okay.
So go ahead. You got to be low. Don't overpower me.
Okay.
Because they have to be able to hear me.
I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
Today's Heat Miser segment, we're talking about a McKendree freshman named Emma Miser. Frontal. So talk about hot on the man. Emma,
they call killing me it Heat at the college Miser.
Level. She went to the SFU Open and beat the Canadian bronze medalist, and then she beat number one ranked WCWA wrestler, Nicole Joseph, by tech fall.
Derek, I'm done with the song already. We'll work on it.
Well, I'll finish. Then Emma Bruntel went to the Mobile and won that. And she actually went to the Bill Farrell. And
she's on fire.
She split matches with Mallory Velty, you know, the world teamer, world bronze medalist.
Yep.
Man, she's on Joy's team. This girl, first of all, she's just a great personality. I met her. I saw her at the Mobile, interviewed her there. She's just a great kid.
Yeah.
And loves wrestling, loves competing, loves battling. She's uber focused. I mean, she kind of reminds me of my daughter, Joy, because they're just like all in on wrestling and totally focused. So they have like late night wrestling sessions at McKendree's Wrestling Center. And I'm so glad that Joy and she are together on the same team. But man, she's just wrestling so well right now. She knocked off the number one, Nicole Joseph, teching her twice, once at the Mobile, once at the SFU Open. So she currently holds the number one spot in the NCAA. So that is this week's Heat Miser.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah. So anyway, that'll be a segment moving forward. Another segment is called, this is probably a terrible name, but The Eye of Sauron.
Yeah.
you know why I'm calling it that? Remember how like the Sauron eye can like see everywhere?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's the idea. Like we want to look even into the obscure places in the wrestling community and find like not famous wrestlers doing cool things at the youth, high school, college, or senior level.
Sure.
So that's the idea of the Eye of Sauron segment. We'll have the quote of the day.
I got a quote of the day. I got a quote of the day.
Oh, go ahead. Hit me.
The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. Abraham Lincoln.
Wow. Everybody pause.
I actually don't know if Abraham Lincoln said that. You can't, well, you know.
You know what? If he didn't say it, then C.S. Lewis said it.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Every quote that's awesome on the internet that you don't know who said it, just attribute it to C.S. Lewis.
True.
But yeah, Ben, I don't know if you ever heard the quote online that says basically what I just said, that, you know, if you don't know who said an awesome quote, C.S. Lewis said it. You know who said that?
C.S. Lewis?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like pretty profound.
Yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, we'll have the quote of the day, whether it's by Abe Lincoln or C.S. Lewis, or, you know, we want to get some awesome quotes from,
sure,
from different women and women's wrestling. And then finally, you know, you and I are both Christians, Ben, and I love highlighting faith and how people are applying their faith in the wrestling community and, you know, in the wrestling environment. And so we'll highlight different wrestlers who, you know, are living out their faith in a wrestling context. And, you know, we're not going to be Bible beaters, but, you know, I want to highlight that because I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So, so those will be some different segments and elements that we have. I guess that's probably enough for our first show.
Sounds good.
Just wanted to give you a feel for who we are and what we're doing. And thanks for listening to the Bleacher Brothers today and AWW Radio. Anything else we should add, Ben?
I think we covered a lot.
Who said that? Is that C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, it was C.S. Lewis, I think.
You know what I'll add is we're going to be actually probably not even prepared to give the information out on this totally yet, but we're going to be coming up with our own Twitter handle. And
yeah.
But, you know, you could follow AWW Newsfeed on Twitter. Or AWW Newsfeed on Instagram. Also, we're on Facebook, just American Women's Wrestling. Yeah, we're always posting articles, updates, different video as we attend different events and get content. So our rankings are posted there, so you can follow along there. If you like the show, just leave a comment. We appreciate that. And tell a friend about it. And yeah, I guess that's it. So, from the Bleacher Brothers.
Signing off.
Oh man, is that your
your signature? I gotta work on that, man.
Yeah. It's okay. Awful. Between now and the next show,
okay,
Ben is gonna get his signature either sign on and or sign off. So he's gonna have a signature. I got mine down, so we'll see what he comes up with. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. And until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.